So we're here at the VeloCity, International VeloCity Conference in Dublin. We're here with Howard Boyd, who's going to tell us about some brilliant initiatives down in the Balkans.
Right. I'm a member of a group based in the UK called the Balkans Peace Park Project. We're a registered charity, and it's a group of people with an interest in the Balkans, particularly Albania, Kosovo, Montenegro, where there is the most spectacular landscape, and there are no tourists and very little help for the local economy. And we see the way forward, because it's such a beautiful and unspoiled area, to promote ecotourism there, particularly walking and cycling. Last year we had a group of 10 of us who went around the mountain area finding out what facilities there were for staying there, for eating, what to do if bicycles went wrong, and we had a great time. And the local organisations of young people trying to make the area better. Well, after all, there was a serious war there only 6 years ago. One of the places we stayed at was a peace house in the ruins of a home that had been destroyed. And what we also tried to do was to bring together both Serbs and Albanians in the area. We had them both on our trip, and this year we hope to go better and have an even bigger representation. These are people who, left to themselves, wouldn't even talk to each other, and we think it's a major plus for cycling that we can get people together in a very harmless and sensible way to make things better for local people.
And how exactly did this organisation form? Like who was the catalyst, or when did it form?
Well, people in Britain and I suppose in the rest of Europe have been going backwards and forwards to the Balkans for many years. Balkans are almost by definition countries that don't get on with each other. They've been split up in lots of different ways in the last 100 or so years, and there's inclined to be tension because these are poor people who are trying to make a living and don't perhaps get on with their neighbours very well. And several of us have been there a few times, and we are very impressed with the wish for many of the people who live there to live in peace and not to be fighting each other.
Exactly. And do you hook up with other groups working in the Balkans? Or are you familiar with the Greenways projects that are sort of seem to be growing more in that part of
the
world?
Yes, this isn't really appropriate. I mean, there's a road system there which is almost empty. So the idea of spending money on infrastructure for cycling on is not relevant. But it is important to get infrastructure for people to stay comfortably in people's homes, have bed and breakfast accommodation, restaurants and cafes and bicycle repair shops and places like that. So there's a lot of opportunities for local people to go into business and get some real benefit from cyclists going past and walkers going past.
And besides yourselves, is there many other groups that are coming to this part of the world?
No, we're not aware of any. We're on our own, but we've been in contact with a lot of groups. For example, UNESCO is organising early next year a cycle trip for looking at the whole of the ex-Yugoslav area, and we hope that they'll be passing by our particular area and show people what attractions
they've
got.
Excellent. And just bringing it back here to Dublin, how have you found VeloCity? What's been the...
It's the 13th VeloCity I've been to.
I've been coming here for
25 years. And
were you here from the very first one?
I went to the very first one.
That was in... could you tell us a little bit about the history of VeloCity?
Well, it was originally... the very first one was in...
Yes, carry on.
The very first one was in 1980 in Bremen in North Germany, and a couple of hundred people came to that, and it was originally intended to be just a one-off organised by the German cycling organisation, but people got an awful lot out of it. It certainly transformed my life, meeting people from overseas. I then worked for a safety organisation in the UK. It was a real chance to meet people in Europe, from America, Australia, that were doing similar things that we needed to get together on.
And now, like when you see Dublin, like just I suppose in the last 5 years, you start to see just the massive transformation the city has undergone with bike lanes and so much of this.
I hope so. I think most of it is leaves a lot to be desired. I must come clean. I think that Dublin at the moment is one of the worst places I've ever been to for cycling, and I will stick by that. But what is refreshing is that
could you please make your way there immediately? Now the sheriff in the Mansion House. Please make your way there immediately.
Sorry about that, man.
Yeah, I have to come clean and say that at the moment I think Dublin is one of the worst places for cycling of any town that I've ever been in. I hope that this conference will give people a lot of ideas for how to make it really better. And having particularly things like bicycle lanes that are in the wrong place and provide extra dangers, surprisingly enough, are probably not the sort of thing that should be going for. What they should be going for is to have better enforcement on good driving behaviour, to have training for drivers, to have training for cyclists. That's another important thing, for people to share the road together in a safe and cooperative way. And the conditions here are very, very poor, and I think many of the people who visited Dublin this week from foreign countries also felt that a lot of things are being done here that are really making things worse for cyclists rather than better.
That's very interesting to hear that, and like hopefully things can be improved. But in terms of just like being a Dubliner, is being on the streets and nearly knocked down a few times, it's great that there are at least more bike lanes than there was. Like when I had to zip through traffic, you know, you're taking your life in your hands and going over car bonnets has happened a few times. But could you tell us more then about this fellow city conference and how it progressed over the week?
Yeah, the conference, like most conferences, has sessions where everybody gets together, plenary sessions, and we've had some spectacular one to start with the former mayor of Bogota, Enrique Peñalosa, who's a worldwide figure in sustainable transport. He's transformed Bogota from a horrible city with high levels of car use and pollution into a magical place where cycling and walking are the norm. In particular, he has used as his mantra that it is a human right to ride a bicycle, and recognize that in a third world country like Colombia, it is the roads that have been constructed for a small rich minority at the expense of the large poor majority. He sees it as an important moral issue to bring conditions for walking and cycling back to make available to everybody, and this he has achieved in the time that he was mayor. And he's now...
Could you please make your way to the Mansion House, where Luck is now the sheriff? Could you please make your way immediately to the Mansion House, where Luck is now the sheriff?
You'll have a bit of editing to do.
Yeah.
And Señor Peñalosa is now doing the conference circuit in the world, trying to spread the message in his very enthusiastic and dynamic way. And we were very privileged to have him here. We've had a lot of smaller group sessions, workshops and so on, where we've managed to get together with colleagues doing some of the things from other parts of the world, and some of those were very valuable, but everybody got something different from it. It was a very well organised and happy occasion, and I'm very glad that I came here.
And just I'm involved with a few groups outside, and I asked could I come to this. I'm involved with a group trying to make a greenway for the city centre, a circular loop around the canal through the Phoenix Park, which is Europe's largest city park, and the Botanic Gardens. We did a greenway cycle on Wednesday evening, but unfortunately we got no support from the organisers of Ella City, and personally I found it very difficult to come and try to talk with the people who are here. It's only today I've managed to get in. So I think for future Ella Cities, maybe if they open up and they try to make it easier for people from outside to get involved. But we'll be trying to carry this on, and from that we've actually set up an eco-city group. I've done work in Banja Luka, where we tried in Bosnia. You're probably familiar with Banja Luka, a particularly bad place for when during the war, but a similar sort of initiative, trying to to create a vision for the city and something to work toward. So like for what we're sort of working at, like this whole idea of having better bikeways, healthy sustainable cities, it's essential. But in terms of like had there been any discussions, or did the structure of the Velo City, did it break up into little groups that looked at different projects, or was everybody discussing things?
And it was a mixture of both. There were sessions for everybody, there were sessions for multiple sessions for smaller groups of people.
Yeah.
So we all got something out of it.
Right.
I can't comment on how the thing was organised. It certainly, as all conferences, it could have been a lot better. And the pricing structure was such that it was not possible for voluntary groups to get here, and that was great pity.
Yeah. Well, also I work with community media, and now it's only now that I've managed to be able to come in because of the kind of whatever bureaucracy has been there. But at the start, there was just like for example, not responding to emails that aren't recognised emails. Like, surely things like this can be improved upon. But did you hear any? Was there any discussion that you heard from the fellow Velo City people about this idea to try and make a greenway, which not only would be a greenway, but would be an ecological corridor and a seepole through the city, a continuous productive urban landscape?
Oh, absolutely clean. I'm a bit suspicious of things like greenways because to me the bicycle is the way to get around. It covers everything. When you segregate, cyclists are road users like everybody else. They need to get from A to B, they need to go out and have a fun time, all kinds of things like this. What prevents many people doing that is the unnecessary motor traffic on the road. And if we can do something about that, if we can get more people on bikes, less people in motor vehicles, it's going to create a much more exciting and vibrant Dublin even than you've got at the moment. My worry is that concentrating on greenways where you segregate cyclists away from everybody else is counterproductive. It can be very expensive, and it misses the point that cyclists share the road with everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Well obviously this idea of the greenway would be going hand in hand in making a better bike friendly city. We'd have a proper infrastructure in place for the healthier city for cycling, but at the moment we would like to be able to get around the canals, and there's barriers up. So these are the issues that we're trying to raise and try to be allowed to cycle along the canals, because at the moment cyclists aren't encouraged to go along by the waterways, which are beautiful green spaces in the cities.
I agree with you on that, but on the other hand, remember that cyclists also want to use the roads, and greenways have got their disadvantages as well as their pluses. They're not lit, they're impossible to use probably in the winter, there could be a crime problem, there's certainly a problem of maintenance. If you've broken glass all over the path, nobody's going to be there to clear it up. Particularly canals, your canals are similar to the, I guess, made at the same time as the canals we have in the UK, and canals tend to be too narrow for sensible use by bicycles because there's not room to pass or to pass cyclists. They can be dangerous because you can fall in, and we have a lot of drownings in canals of cyclists. They tend to have very few places where you can get onto and off the canal, and that has problems, particularly for women who feel at risk if they're by themselves and have got no way to get off.
Yeah.
So I would caution that greenways have got a place, but that there's a danger that they can get in the way of making transport better for cyclists in Dublin rather than helping it.
Well, I definitely take those on board. Like working as an architect and as an urbanist, like all these issues are imperative to the healthiest, the best case scenario. So taking on those words, hopefully they're future things that we're trying to address, because like trying to do with the canals, it's a greenway, but it's also trying to get people to turn their backs to the canals, which have been misused and not addressed for so long, and getting people to go back to work with, to be around the water is such a healthy thing in its myself. But finally, on a similar, the final thing then, there's a group up in Belfast, the Sustrans group in the UK are doing a great job, it seems, and just being up in Belfast at workshops over the weekend, it seems that there's a very comprehensive bikeway through Belfast, and it's grown in terms of just being able to pick up a map and get a bike map for the city, something we still can't get here in Dublin. But up there, they're looking at trying to make a pass, linking up sort of like a main sort of route that will come from the source of the river up in the hills, the first river, down through the city and around in a loop, so to link up the sort of greenways through parks as well. But one of the issues about this, though, are similar to the issues that are down in the Balkans, and this is why I raise it, which is a zone that's gone through conflict, and how best to set up a kind of a route like this, which adds to conflict resolution, and like the whole thing idea of bringing tourists through this route, trying to, you know, further get rid of that violence.
Very similar to what we've been looking at the Balkans, but I have to say that I'm afraid I put Sustrans in slightly in the same category as I was talking about greenways.
Okay.
There's a great danger that spending a lot of money, and we spent 400 million English pounds on Sustrans National Cycle Network in Britain, is that it's not helping to shift people from cars to bicycles.
And what then do you think is the thing which will shift?
I can go on to this for a long time. It's much too easy in Dublin and in London and Birmingham, for that matter, to drive. It is subsidised effectively because the costs that it inflicts on the community are not charged for. People, surprisingly enough, aren't making more trips. Certainly in the UK, people make the same sort of trips, number of trips every year. They're now more by car than they used to be, and they're now longer than they used to be. That's why there appears to be more cars on the road. People are not any more accessing leisure or shops or schools or anything else. They're making the same number of trips. So the important thing is to make the balance between cycling and driving much more on the side of cycling, and that way the problems will go away. It will be much easier to cycle. It will be more difficult to drive cars, and so there will be a spiral upwards, so that we will reach the kind of levels that you have in lots of other countries. And Sustrans, with respect, I don't think is doing that. It is creating segregated routes in the main. Not always. I mean, a high proportion of the National Cycle Network in England is on roads, but the pattern of usage has been typically people will get the car out, put the bicycles in the back, drive to somewhere, ride up and down for 3 or 4 miles, put the bikes in the back, and drive home again. And that isn't doing anything for the environment, for global climate change, and for the rights of cyclists in where they live to cycle around in safety.
And in terms of, I suppose, the critical thing which this is of how do you get people, you know, out of the cars onto the bikes, by organising something like which they did last, it was Tuesday night with the cycle around the city, that's shown that it can be done.
That's great. We need another 364 of those a year.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, would you be in favour, say, of car-free cities even?
Absolutely, that's the answer.
Yeah. And what about it, like involved, say, with groups like Critical Mass, who, to highlight the fact that there's such a need.
That's got a place, yeah.
Yeah, so just by setting up these events and just,
yes,
like,
because so long as, you know, we recognise that people in cars are humans as well, and you're not there to insult them and offend them.
But equally, the bike users are also traffic,
yeah,
and we do need to have better facilities, yeah, and to have to create the
They've
proper...
They've already got good facilities. The only thing wrong with the facilities is there's cars in them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you need to spend any money on infrastructure in Dublin. You've spent far too much already on making roads faster for cars. If you stop spending money on the physical infrastructure and started doing something to get people out of cars, and it could be by closing car parks, could be by pricing car parking very much higher than it is at the moment. People are able to park on the street for nothing. It's taking up space that belongs to me, that belongs to you. It's those kind of things. They're tough decisions. Ken Livingstone has made a few tough decisions in London, and is beginning to reap the dividends, and I've been interested to think of something like that too.
So perhaps the mayors in the city need to have a greater call or a greater vision, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but on that note, like, we are engaged, like, we're meeting the head city planner next week to try to bring these issues to his table. We've already brought these issues to the mayors. What they've done with it, we're not really sure, but we are trying, and we're trying to build bodies to get stronger and stronger and encourage more people to get out onto the bike. So this idea of the greenway cycle, we'll be doing that every month. That's just a further thing, calling into hostels, just letting people know that it's there.
I would prefer if you went around talking about traffic congestion and traffic charging for car parking rather than building greenways.
Yeah. The Friday evening is critical mass. That's the highlight, and the bike users on the street, and then the Sunday they're kind of relaxing, just to go around the greenway, which does actually tread through a series of major car zones. So, but anyway, listen, thank you very much, it's great to see the work that's gone on in the Balkans, and hopefully, sorry for taking up your time now.
Leave with you.
Okay, so the best of luck to the Balkans, and we'll put this, we'll hook those up with our contacts down in the Balkans, so hopefully that down in Balkan Radio, in the different places down in that part of the world, they'll be able to listen to this and hear that in Dublin people are trying to do stuff for them down there. Okay, so thank you very much.